I'm going to start a new sermon series that is called Kingdom Management. And today we're going to talk about manage the promise. Manage the promise. Now, I'm not a manager, so I don't want to give you things of management per se, but we're going to talk about principle of the kingdom of God that we can apply in our own personal lives. Amen. And I believe if we really come before God and we say, God, I want to be a good steward. Everything that I have comes from you. Everything that I see in my life is given from you to me. And I want to steward it. I want to manage it in a good way. The whole thing, how this came about, how I started to see where God is leading me right now, is when I was going through 2 Timothy. And this is Paul writing to Timothy at the end of his life. And that is 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through 8. And there it says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who have longed for his appearing." Now this is Paul at the end of his life, reflecting back and saying, you know what, I have lived a good life. God, you have used me. I have kept my faith. Now I am ready to go and receive the crown. And I thought to myself, God, at the end of my life, I want to be able to say that. I want to be able to stand before God and say, God, I have kept my faith. I have run the race and I am ready to receive the crown. But how can we really make sure that we accomplish all that God has for us? We have to become good stewards. We have to become good managers of what God has given to us so that we can use it in a good way, in a godly way, so that at the end of the day, God will say, "Good, well done, my good and faithful servant. Go in for the joy of the Lord." Don't you want to God say that over your life? That we can say, I have done good in my life. And that is, we have to become good stewards. Then I thought, okay, where do we go from kingdom management? Where do we start? Then I thought, you know what? We're going to go start right at the beginning. Right at the beginning of the Bible, of course, is Genesis. And then is we go into the text for today, and that is Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. And there it says, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in numbers. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food." So all those who are out there who love meat like myself, we actually started out as vegetarians. I'm not saying that is what we are supposed to do now. I'm just saying this is what the Bible says. I love my meat. You know what? Char siu, bak kut teh. I like a good steak. But we started out a little bit different. But the whole thing is we are going to the very beginning where God created the heavens and the earth. Everything within it, every living creature, then he puts Adam into the garden and says, "I have created all this, now you manage it. Now you are responsible for making sure that you take care of my creation. So be a good manager." So I thought that is just fitting. We start right at the beginning and we have to see how we can become good stewards, good managers of what God has given to us. The very first thing I believe that we have to learn is that his desires have to become our desires. His desires, God's desire has to become our desire. Genesis 1:28 says, "God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth.'" So we have to make sure that our desires
become what is really God's desire. His desires have to become our desires. Now you say, okay, what is the desire of God? We love scriptures like Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Come on. You know what I'm talking about, right? Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That is the desire of God. What about Psalm. Psalm 23 verse 1 and 3. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. We like those kind of scriptures, right? Where it shows clearly the desire that God has to bless you. Come on. Very clearly it shows that God wants to bless you. It is his desire to bless. Keep that in mind. God's desire is to bless you. Now go back again to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. How does it start? It said, God bless them. God is a giver. God is one who desires to bless you. And he desires for us now to take good care of what he has given us. And he wants us to multiply it and to be fruitful and to cover the earth and to subdue the earth. But there's a way that God wants things to be done. And it is not because God loves rules and regulations. God has given us commandments for our own good. Come on, think about it. You remember the Ten Commandments in the Bible? Ah, Pastor, roughly one or two I remember. You shall not murder. Right? That one I remember. You shall not steal. The other one, I'm not so sure anymore. Sunday school is a long time ago. No, see, the commandments of God are given to us not so that God can rejoice in them. The commandments are given, why? So that we can have a good and proper life. Just imagine if everyone would really keep all the Ten Commandments. Everyone, worldwide, we would live in a much better world. Don't you agree? So the commandments that God is giving to us are for our own benefit. They are not to make God happy. They are given so that we can have a good life, so that we can have a safe life, so that we can have a blessed life. So they are for our own benefits. So when God says, I want you to live life in a certain way, it is not for him, it is so that we can enjoy everything there is to life. So that we can feel the fulfillment that only comes when we are living out the plan and purpose that God has for our life. And I want you to know this morning that God has a plan. He has a purpose. I even go one step further. He has a destiny for your life. God has a destiny for your life. God has something special in store for you. And if we only align ourselves with the will of God and let his desires become my desire, we can then finally start to live out what God has for us, and we can feel the fulfillment that comes with that. But we have to align ourselves with the will of God. Come on. Bill Johnson once said, prayer is not coming to God, asking him to invade our situation and change to what we want. I'm paraphrasing. But he said, prayer really is coming to God and aligning ourselves with the will of God and seeing what he can do in this situation. It is not about coming to God and trying to twist the arm of God and trying to get him to do our bidding in the situation that we're in. Prayer really is coming to God, aligning ourselves with him, and then seeing what he can do in the situation. And the good thing is, we already know that God's plan, God's desire for us is to give us a hope and a future. That he wants to bless us. So coming into this whole, the whole thing, knowing that God wants to bless you, makes it so much easier to say, God, I want to align my life with your desire. I want to align what I want in my life with what you want in my life. God wants to bless us, absolutely. But there's a way that God wants to work in your life where we have to align ourselves with him so that we can really see all the blessings, all the good things be fulfilled in our life. I remember growing up in Germany. Story time with Pastor Stefan, right? I remember growing up in Germany, and there was a time where my brothers and I, we have three boys, so my two brothers and I, we got somehow into knights. So we would go outside, knights as in sword fights. Not knives, knight. Knight, the ones in shiny armor, right? Lancelot and his gang, right? So we were into that. So we would go outside, countryside, right? We would find sticks. And we would have sword fights with sticks. And we had the best time ever. We had blue black here and blue black there. But never mind, we had the best of time. Then one day, my dad would come home from work. He would come outside to see us. And we would run, oh, Papa is home. Yay, Papa is home. He said, what are you doing? He said, oh, we're having sword fight. Sword fight. Then he said, okay, nice. He went into the garage. And the next day, when he came back from work, he went into the garage. He brought out a nice wooden sword for each of us. On top of that, he brought out a wooden shield for each of us. And he brought out a battle axe for each of us, made out of wood. Not a short one like the Vikings, a big one. Big battle axe. And we were excited. I mean, we had the best of time. But here's the thing. My dad would always find something to do at home, especially when it came to carpentry. And now we just celebrated Easter, right? So after a long day here in church where I was doing some of the props for the Easter drum, I came home. I told Joanna, oh, it was so hot today. I was working outside. It's very hot. I'm all red already. I think I'm sunburned. But you know what? Working with wood is my happy place. That's what I like. So I guess the older I get, the more I become like my dad. I'm turning into my dad. Good thing that I really admire my dad, right? But the whole thing is, I am becoming more like him. Now in our Christian life, in our Christian walk, what do you aspire to be? Do we want to become more like him? Do we want to see our life transformed more and more into the likeness of Christ? Because at the end of the day, when we stand before God, that is what really counts. He will ask, what did you do with your life? With the talents that I have given you? What did you do? Were you a good steward? Were you a good manager with the things that I have entrusted you with? And I want to bring it close to our heart this morning that we have to make a decision. God, I want to be a good manager. The first step to do that is, first of all, to align my desire with the desires of God so that I can become all that God destined me to be. And the good news is, I don't have to worry that it is weird or somehow uncomfortable, because he knows me. He knows my desires. He knows everything about me. And so I know that he has a good plan for me and a good future. Growing up, I can remember, I always said, God, I want you to bring the right partner into my life. But I was always a little bit worried, because I thought, what if God brings an ugly girl and says, this is supposed to be your wife? Oh my goodness, how can? But you know what? God created me, right? So I'm happy to tell you that I'm absolutely happy where I ended up. Because God created me the way that I am, so he knows exactly what I need, and he has a good plan and a good future for me. So if we submit to God, we don't have to worry that it will be something weird, that it will be something that is out of, that I cannot even see myself, nor maybe right now you cannot see yourself, but if God starts to work in you, he has a good future for you. So we have to align ourselves with the desire of God. Number two, very quickly, I believe that we have to see that his command to us carries great power. His command to us carries a great power. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them, hallelujah, and said to them, be fruitful and increase in numbers and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God gave them a command. He said, this is my desired outcome for you. I want you to enjoy, but to manage everything well. Go, be fruitful, and subdue the earth. Now, his command comes with great power because he commanded us, so that means that it is possible. Come on. God commanded Adam and Eve, be fruitful and subdue and rule over the earth. That means by God giving them the command to do that, it carried the possibility that it is, that they are able to achieve what God commanded them to do. God would not ask them to do something that is impossible. So by God giving them the command, be fruitful, subdue the earth, and rule over it, he basically said, it is possible for you to rule, subdue the earth, and to be fruitful. And I believe that the whole fall of mankind could have been prevented. Think about it. Because God said, be fruitful, subdue the earth, and rule over every living creature. So if they would have really walked in that, as soon as the serpent would have come to Eve and started talking and starting to put doubts in their mind, they could have said, I'm going to take authority. I'm going to subdue. I'm going to kick this one out. I'm going to rule over every living creature like God said. It is able, it is possible. But they didn't. And so they fell. So we have to see that a command that God gives us always comes with the power to achieve it. So whatever God has for your life, you are able to achieve it. Whatever God has placed on your life, the calling, the destiny that he has for you, he has placed within you the ability to achieve it. And we have to say, God, I am going to take authority now. I'm going to subdue anything in my life that is not how it is supposed to be. Look at 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. Paul says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of the Lord. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to what? To Christ. So Paul says, we take captive every thought that is not obedient and not in line with Jesus Christ. So God wants us to take authority. He wants us to subdue and to rule. Rule over what? Our thoughts, our inner being. So God wants us to subdue any ungodly thought that we might have. God wants us to subdue any self-doubt that we have in our life. God wants us to subdue any unbelief that we might have in our heart. God wants us to subdue any unforgiveness, any bitterness that we might have inside of us. God wants us to subdue any hurt that we still harbor in our hearts. God wants us to subdue any depressive thought that we might have. God wants us to take authority, take captive any thought that is not in line with the Word of God, that is not in line with what God has for your life. We have the authority. The problem is very often we just go through life really actually unaware. We live our life, we go through our daily chores, all the things that we have to do, not really considering what God wants in our life. And so without us even really realizing, we are coming further and further away from what God has for us. But God is speaking to you this morning and saying, you take authority. Whatever you see in your life that is not of God, subdue it. Whatever you see that brings you away from God, rule over it. Whatever is in your life that is trying to separate you from the will of God, make sure that you take authority. Amen. And I believe God, who gave us the command, also gives us the power to see it come to fruition in our life. Amen. Point number three, very quickly. His destiny for us requires work. His destiny for us requires work. Look at Genesis 2, verse 15. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. Now see, the thing is, Genesis is written in a very poetic form. So Genesis chapter 1 talks about creation. Then Genesis chapter 2 has flashbacks going back again, picking up what was said before and giving a little bit more information. So Genesis chapter 2, even though it is later, it talks about a time before what we read earlier on. Because earlier on, Adam and Eve were already there. God came and said, you know, I bless you. All this is for you. Go be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, rule over it. This talks about a time before that, where God created the heavens and the earth. He created Adam, not Eve yet. He put Adam into the garden and said, you take care of it. See, God's plan, his desire was always for Adam to work. Oh, Pastor, I want to retire in my 30s. You won't believe how many Instagram posts in the reels I get nowadays of people giving financial advice of how to become financially independent so that you can retire when you're 30. And I was thinking to myself, God, I want to be financially independent. Yes, I want to have more than enough, but I don't want to retire. Because the plan of God from the beginning was to work. So I want to be free. I want to be debt free. I want to enjoy life. But I still want to be used by God. I still want to be in the center of God's will. And that requires work. That requires me to sacrifice. That requires for me to give everything that I have to see what God has come to pass. And I really like what Pastor David says. We don't retire, we refire. Amen. And there's so much more that God has. There's so much more that God wants to do. Amen. And I believe it with all my heart that God wants to do something powerful and that he desires for us to do the work that he has for us. Amen. And we have the honor. We have the honor to work with God hand in hand to see whatever he has fulfilled. Pastor David said in one of the Bible studies, God does not use us. Because using means you just use it and you put it aside. God wants to work with us hand in hand to accomplish what he has for each and every one of you. So I want you to know that God has a plan for you. He has a destiny that is very unique to you, to your life. And God wants to work with you hand in hand so that you can fulfill everything that God has for you. And we have the honor to invite God into our life to say, God, work with me. Lead me. Guide me so that I know what you have for me. I remember years ago when I went to Africa, during the weekends we would go to the churches, we would minister to them and preach there. But during the week, we worked with a humanitarian aid organization, with an NGO. And so we had food programs to feed the orphans from the civil war. We had all kinds of things set up. So one of the times, about a few weeks into my trip, Pastor Berthold, with whom I went, he came to me and he said, Stefan, you know what? I have a special assignment for you. And I thought to myself, ooh, special assignment? All right, let's go. Let's do this. So he took me to the warehouse and he said, you know what? We have this machine that just came in from Germany that produces bricks, building bricks. And I want you to have these two guys who are going to help you and to make bricks. And we don't need just a few, we need thousands of them. So that is your special project. I said, okay, let's do it. I came here to help. Whatever is necessary, whatever is needed, I will do it. So every day I got up, I went to the warehouse, and we made bricks for 10 hours every day. After about almost 3 weeks, we had done thousands and thousands of bricks. And I thought, you know what? This is getting ridiculous. I'm doing the same thing every day for 10 hours. Over and over again, you had to mix the concrete, put it into the machine. The machine would start to vibrate and put the bricks together, would compress it. Then you would have to lift the whole machine up, put it to the next side and do the process over and over again. I was like, oh my goodness, I came here for a mission trip, but I didn't come really to make bricks every day for 10 hours. But I did it. Almost three weeks later, I was finished. Years later, I was already, at that time, I was already in America in Bible school. I went back to Germany, and I met up with Pastor Bertolt, who just came back from Angola. And when I met up with him, he said, do you remember last time when you came to Angola and you made the bricks? This is what the bricks were used for. And he showed me pictures. A big building where there's a church, a school, where they have a classroom to teach the orphans of the war reading, writing, counting, so that they could have a better life. When I saw that, I thought, you know what? If I would have known that earlier, maybe I would have worked a little bit harder. I would have worked a little bit longer. Maybe enough bricks for another building. But all of a sudden, it all became clear. When I was doing it years before that, I didn't know why I was doing it, but I just had to do it. I just had to keep going. Years later, I saw what happened because of that. And maybe you feel in your life, you know what I'm doing right now is just the same rut over and over again. I'm not sure what God is doing. I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm not sure why I have to go through the things that I'm going through right now. But I believe if you are working with God hand in hand, years from now you will look back and everything will become clear. That you will see that all along in it all, God had his hand on you. God was preparing you for the future that you right now cannot even imagine. So how do we manage the promise of God in our life? By aligning ourselves with God. Making sure that his desire become my desire. By then seeing that whatever God has for my life, he has given me the power to actually accomplish it. Even though I might not see it right now, but everything that I need is already within me, inside of me. Even though right now you might feel like I'm not sure how much more I can take. Whatever you need is already inside of you. And if we work with God hand in hand, God can bring about a great breakthrough in our life. Amen? so that we can do and accomplish everything that God has for our lives. Can the worship team come this morning, please?